All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight as we head towards the Major League Baseball All-Star weekend and week off, whatever exactly it is, 4 days. It's Monday and Tuesday night of next week. We'll talk a little bit more about it on Monday, but nailing down the final rosters and, of course, Reds baseball heading to the Major League Baseball All-Star break and trying to put some positive momentum together. We'll have some of that and much of that for you all this week, including right after the show at 7 o'clock. But in the meantime, the NBA has been undergoing beginning a free agency for the season and a new salary cap coming about and apparently extending quite a bit in the next couple years. So all kinds of money being spent all over the place. And that, of course, includes our Pacers as they had some decisions to make and some deals to try to get done. And they've managed to do a few of them. And I know you and Terry talked a little bit about Monte Ellis the other day and David West, who opted out of his contract at about $12 million to go play with the Spurs for $1 million. So congratulations, I suppose, to David West chasing a championship with the Spurs. No better place to go do that. I wish him the best. But let's talk about the Pacers without David West. And at this point in time, they've also traded Roy Hibbert. So there's been big news around here falling completely under the radar with all this. Maybe that they also re-signed Rodney Stuckey. But let's start there. Let's start in the backcourt before we get to the front court. Monte Ellis added. Rodney Stuckey kept around. Paul George maybe added wherever he may play, whether it's the four or in the backcourt or whatever it is. This is a team, Glass, that's going to be able to put the ball in the basket, and that's what we've talked about with the NBA and in basketball in general nowadays. You've got to have guys, and you've got to have a lot of versatility in guys that can score. Golden State showed you that. You can't have a lot of weaknesses out there. Cleveland Cavaliers showed you what happens if you've got those weaknesses. But this is a Pacers team that's going to have a lot of options for putting the ball in the basket.
Yep. And I would add the Pacers to that list as well, because Paul George didn't play last year and they were one game out of making the playoffs, so it wasn't like it was a complete abandoned ship. But yeah, you need guys that could score, and I think that's the best part of the Ellis deal. He's gonna score. It's not a guy that's brought in for his defense or shutting down the other best backcourt player. It's a guy that's gonna volume shoot. He can run pick and roll. That's what the NBA is all about these days, it seems like. And it adds, again, a guy that can take the load off of George Hill. It reduces his volume as shooting. And know what it's going to do? It's going to get him more open shots. That's the best news, because George Hill doesn't usually have a problem knocking down the open ones. Right. It's the ones he has to create himself.
No, he's not a creator.
So you bring Ellis into that mix, and right off the go, you've got to find George Hill when the ball rotates, and that's going to open up the floor considerably for the Pacers, especially when George plays the four. And whoever's going to play the five isn't going to have anybody standing around him rubbing into him. That's not going to be the case. It's going to be a wide-open attack offense, and it's going to have driving lanes. It's going to be entertaining if the Pacers can pull it off. But you know what's not entertaining is when you're down 20 because you're out-rebounded 17-5 in a quarter and you can't block any shots at the rim because your first-round draft pick might not be ready to go at the drop of the hat. But the scoring angle, if you want to get smaller, you want to get faster, if you think that's the way to play, well, the Pacers have taken care of part of that. And part of that is the Monte Ellis signing and the Rodney Stuckey signing as well. 3 years, $21 million. It's a player option in year three, the final year of the deal for Stuckey. I think Ellis has a player option in
four.
Three?
Four.
And four?
Just four.
Okay, well, that's good then.
But at least, I mean, these are not signed at this point in time.
Sure.
I think it's all speculated on.
This is when this all can go down the week after, or at 12:01 on the 9th, or at whatever that moratorium ends. But the point was the Pacers had to get help in the backcourt, and they need help in the front court as well. So we'll get to that in a second. But I think bringing Stuckey back, one thing that you know that means he's a good locker room guy, no question about it. And you saw when he was healthy, he had injury problems too. He had foot problems and ankle problems there for a while. But he can get his own shot. He's going to lead the second unit. That's exactly what he wants to do. And he's not going to be bothering you about starting time or pushing his way in the starting lineup. He kind of gets what the Pacers are trying to do. He knows his role. And right there, that's being completely ahead of the game. Now, filling out the rest of that, the backup point guard or point guard situation, that's going to be another tough one. Joseph Young, you saw in the summer league game today, had almost half the Pacers' points. We know he can shoot it. Can he handle it? Can he run the second unit? Well, I think the point guard is overrated when you don't have one and underrated when you have a really good one. LeBron James in the point guard.
Right.
But when you need something to happen.
It's the ball's always in his
hands. But it's nice when you have a guy like Dellavedova who can handle
the
rock.
The other guys, sure. Well, and release some pressure.
Exactly right. Where you don't have to put all the, you don't have to put every single thing on the guy's shoulders. And that's going to help. And that's one thing the Pacers might be short on. There's been no contact with Donald Sloan. And the reason we bring a guy like Sloan up, he's affordable. That's the reason we're talking about him. I don't know how many other guys are out there wandering. Maybe you find a veteran-type guy in that $2.5 to $4 million range you can bring in. If the Hibbert trade goes through, remember, they're just moving draft picks and some overseas rights. The Pacers are sending $3.4 million, I think, of Hibbert's salary, so that's going to open up another $11 million or so right now. That doesn't mean the Pacers have to spend it, but it does give them some different options. Lavoy Allen has been added to the front court, along with he's back with obviously the draft pick Miles George as well. But to get things started, you have to put the ball in the basket, and you have to do it from multiple spots. It can't be a stand-and-watch offense. You've got to have other guys that can do that. CJ Miles has shown for the value they signed him for is a great signing. He's, again, he doesn't need 20 shots to get 20 points. Ellis might, that's fine. You want that because that opens up other things when guys have to lock down on him. So they're in the right direction. I don't know if this is going to be the move that puts them over the top. That's probably not going to be the case, but what they do have now is what they didn't have last year, and that's an abundance of offense.
Well, and looking again at that backcourt for the start, you've got George Hill, of course, coming back. CJ Miles, kind of your 2-3 swing there. Rodney Stuckey can play both spots. Monte Ellis. Those are your main four, and that's or main three, I should say. That's a pretty good three right there. You got to fill in some spots. Is it C.J. Watson, Joseph Young? Will he make this
Watson's
team?
Watson's already gone. He signed with Orlando.
Did he? Okay.
4 years, $15 million.
So, I mean, there's still a couple question marks, as you mentioned, from the backup spots, but it's a pretty good top three in Miles, Stuckey, well, four, Ellis and George Hill. And look, you're not going to play all 12, 15 guys on a regular basis. You might need them at some point during the season. But you got to at least start there. Speaking of which, we started there. We'll keep it going here in just a couple minutes. We'll talk about the front court. David West out. Roy Hibbert rumored to be traded. So that salary is gone, and part of it's going to Rodney Stuckey, apparently. We'll talk about what else they're going to do with that money potentially when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. NBA free agency period, at least the discussion period, well underway. But a lot of action as a lot of deals have been struck. None of it official yet at this point. Really about the only thing I think that's truly official are opting in and opting out of your options, which the Pacers have seen a couple of. Roy Hibbert, of course, opted into his option, and David West opted out of his. Let's start with David West, because I think this is less complicated than the Roy Hibbert situation by quite a bit. David West said, thank you very much, Indiana, but I need to look for somebody who's really got a shot at the finals right now, and apparently will be joining the Spurs. He left $12 million or so on the table with the Pacers. He will get a contract of the league minimum, 1.5-ish, from the Spurs and joins a becoming more and more loaded, although maybe not as deep eventually. They certainly need to fill in their roster, but it's a damn good roster. David West coming off the bench for the Spurs. For the Pacers, again, we know in the in the locker room, whether this will have effect or not, we don't know. But we do know, well, they're missing a presence now in the locker room. Who is going to be that presence? Is it George Hill? It's got to be Paul George to some degree. He's the star, certainly the star in making, star coming back, whatever you want to call it. He's, I don't know that he's the veteran. Monte Ellis is the veteran. But in this one, it's got to be the guys that have been here for a while. So a big question for the Pacers will be, what does this cost them, especially and you know, this isn't going to be a completely turned over roster, but adding a Monte Ellis, we don't know what he's like. You know, is he going to be trouble? Is he not going to be trouble? Don't think so.
Can't guard anybody, but
yeah,
that happens.
You keep Miles, you keep Stuckey. I mean, you're keeping a bunch of guys around also, but you're losing David West. I think that's got to have some sort of blow for this team. He was also a junkyard dog kind of guy, and who is that guy now on the Pacers?
He told Bob Kravitz one of the reasons that he wasn't going to be there. He didn't care about money, and he wasn't lying. He's going to take a $1.4 million veteran exceptions minimum from the Spurs to have a chance to win a championship. And the scuttlebutt that I've been reading from the NBA writers was another reason West wanted to get out. It wasn't the Hibbert deal per se, but if you read the Bob Kravitz article, he wasn't happy with how that went down either. He wasn't happy being the only guy in the locker room that had to handle all of this. Paul George wasn't ready for it yet. He was hurt. He wasn't there last season. So anytime there was, you know, he had to deal with Lance Stephenson. He had to deal with the Hibbert being Hibbert. And that wears on a guy. He's not going to have to do that in San Antonio.
Not
he
at
just
all.
Walks in the door and he can just focus on playing basketball. So the Pacers, what do they lose there? If anything, the locker room freshens over and they have to find a new leader. And if they're going to play a new style of basketball that West perhaps wouldn't be as involved in as the style is going to be now, maybe that's a good thing. Because
it's a good
the
timing,
Pacers
certainly.
Need, yeah, if you're going to change things and get rid of your two or your three highest paid players, yeah, you're going to have that. That's part of adjusting to the new offense, the new locker room, the new everything else. So that just comes with the territory. So Paul, it has to be Paul George's team. He has to grow up to the point now where he has to take care of things in the locker room. Whatever help he can get. Ellis is 29. He's been in the league for 11 years. Don't forget that. He came out of high school.
That's right.
Stuckey's 29. He's been around for a bit. Hill's getting up into that late 20s part. So the Pacers don't have on paper that veteran poised go-to leadership guy, but they do have a couple bucks left over. Maybe that's something they look at with maybe bringing back Luis Scola in a role like that. Scola's never had a problem getting up and down the court, as we've seen. So that's going to be the next interesting move. How do you fill that front court? Obviously, you did in the draft with Miles Turner. No question about it. The kid will be able to play at some point. What kind of level? I'm with you. I don't have any idea.
Well,
that's fine. But to replace that leadership, my point is that's where this leftover money of what's going on, you have to find some kind of veteran presence, because I don't think Vogel hasn't been doing this a long time. He can't be the strong arm in the locker room and on the court. You have to have some separation there. So that money, you've got to find a proven guy that can A, do it on the court the way you want to do it, and B, help out in the locker room.
333-2665 is our phone number. And so that's kind of a summary there of West. He is gone. Still some stuff to be taken care of with the Roy Hibbert deal, but it certainly sounds like it's going through. This is the thing we talked about last week, and you know, a lot of questions about that was, you know, he had opted in, he had taken his player option, which is hardly surprising. But then the question was going to be, how was he going to play with the Pacers? Would he be traded at some point in time? What would the Pacers have to deal with? What we find out is that trying to figure out the salaries and contracts and how this all works and salary cap in the NBA is just a little bit absurd, because now Roy Hibbert at $15.5 million is apparently going to be traded to the Los Angeles Lakers for a pepperoni pizza and a jug of milk is what it sounds like. But the good news, of course, for the Pacers is that they're going to get that $15 million in salary cap. They're already going to use some of that, maybe half of that, towards Rodney Stuckey, which, again, for this team and considering what he had done for this team and what this team had done for his career, again, let's be fair here, too, to both sides, he's going to take a good bit of that. But they do have some extra money left over. Let's look at that front court. It's, you know, it's Paul George at the four. You've got Ian Mahimi. He's a nice player. He's a backup, but he's probably going to start at center unless you bring somebody in top of him to begin with. You've got a guy like LaVoy Allen.
Yeah, he's signed. That's the rumor. He's signing for 3 years, $12 million.
Yeah, so these are guys who can play. Miles Turner is certainly going to play early, and he's having a really nice summer league so far. You said you watched a little bit of him today.
Yeah, it looks good.
Again, we can't expect him to walk in the door and be, I think, a true starting NBA center right away. But what do you think? I mean, just in what you've seen, the little bit that you've seen, I mean, are we getting 10 minutes a night? Is he a DNP for a while?
Yeah, he's going to be a DNP for a while, just because he's going to have to adjust to the speed of the game, just like everybody is. And the more teams that go small, that's fine. But playing hard every possession, getting up and down the floor every possession, those are things you can lollygag to a degree in college. And I'm not calling him a lollygagger, because your superior athletic ability covers up those flaws.
Sure, sure.
Here, everybody's just like you. They're really fast. They can jump really high. They all have really long wingspans, and they all play above the rim. He'll help, but I think he'll have to play himself into comfortability. I don't think, again, you're going to throw him out there. And if you want to look at his summer league numbers and tell me this about the summer league numbers, go look at the guys that are guarding him. Okay, right. Just start right there and work your way back. If the 11th pick in the draft isn't dominating a summer league, you're not going to talk about anything.
He needs about, numbers, yeah.
About moving anybody forward.
23 and 8 today.
And he had a nice day. He's active, no question about it, but it's a different animal. There's no question. Tell me what he's going to do in game 42. He played 20 minutes a year last year as an 18-year-old kid in Texas.
Well, that was my problem. That was my one issue with him.
They buy you on potential to work you into that.
A top five guy nationally. He goes into Texas and he only plays 20 minutes a game. Sure. That was surprising.
D'Angelo Russell played 39 minutes a game at
exactly.
Ohio State. Different things. Big guys sometimes come along a little bit slower than other guys because at the college game, the game is refereed so interestingly. You can get in foul trouble really quick in the college game just for being tall and lanky and in the way.
Somebody.
Right. But I think that's a nice piece moving forward. And I think that this Pacer team went from purgatory 10 days ago to, okay, playoffs should be the order of the day.
Focus, sure.
But I'm not sure there's enough on this team, or one more guy at $4.5, $5 million, $6 million bucks is going to be knocking on Cleveland's
not
door.
Not until we know if they can guard a Mozgov or fight with Noah or those guys.
Going to help for his four-year rookie deal or five-year rookie deal, whatever that is. There's no doubt about it. And that's going to bridge the Hill, George, Ellis, Stuckey. So you're going to have this mm-hmm. group together for the next 3 or 4 years, which is going to be, you would think, good. The salary cap explodes next year. It adds $22 million or whatever it is. Everybody's going to be flush with cash. Don't forget right. that. You know what that does? A high tide raises all boats.
Everybody.
So the guy that's making $8 million is going to be making $12 next year, but is he any better? No. It's just the numbers go up. It's just standard inflation, it seems like. So what the Pacers have to figure out is if this system this year can lure anybody next year, say, whoa, look at that nucleus that I just mentioned. You got Ellis. Mm-hmm. You got this. And then there's a big guy say, hey, you know what? I don't need 20 shots a night. I'm not going to get it here. But, man, I'm going to play a ton of minutes, and I know LaVoy Allen can't beat me out. I'm going to know Mahimini can't beat me out. And the Turner kid's right next to me. I'll teach him something. So mm-hmm. you get into – then you read David West, the Pacers, perhaps next year.
Sure.
I don't think it happens this year because I think it's too late in the game for it to come together. But if you find a big guy that can shoot it a little bit and a veteran presence, I think the locker room is more important perhaps this season, Dave, than the floor. So the guy that's going to help you in the locker room, it has to help George. He knows he has to be second banana. And I don't think that's going to be an issue. Can you find the right guy to do it? Well, that's what Bird gets paid the big bucks for, and Pritchard gets paid the big bucks for. They have to find that piece both on and off the court to make it work. And if you're talking about the Pacers right now, the second unit, you have Stuckey and Turner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So LaVoy Allen.
Or Mahimini, whichever one you want.
One of those
okay,
guys.
So you're up to eight. That's better than we were. We were about four last time we talked before you went out of town. We were four guys. Now we're up to eight.
Right.
So that's a little bit further along. But again, the 10th guy in the NBA doesn't play a lot, but he has to be there because guys get injured. Nobody goes through the whole season. LeBron James didn't play for 2 weeks for the Cavs this year. 2 weeks he was hurt. He was out. So you have to have guys that can step in and play the role. I saw Solomon Hill a little bit today. I'm not even going to talk about him. There's a reason why he's been in the D-League for the last 2 years. He looks heavy. Yeah. He looks slow. Christian Watford played. Christian Watford's going to be a AAA or a 4A type guy his whole career, and that's not a knock on Watford. That's what I keep seeing. So the Pacers have that hole to fill. Are they going to go one more big and keep four guys at 6'11 or better with Whittington in there? We've heard things about him.
Well, eventually
Joe Young's going to make the team. Let's throw him on there just because there's nobody else that's going to beat him out of that spot.
Eventually, though, they've got to have somebody that's less of a hey, let's just throw a guy out there for a little while, which is what we're getting at the five position at this point. And that's a little unfair to Ian Mahimi, that's what it is. I mean, he's a backup. LaVoy Allen's a backup. These are guys you need somebody up front that doesn't need to be a scorer. I mean, you don't necessarily need to have a guy at the five position that's going to walk in the door and get you 20, because I think you've got plenty of scoring in this roster.
Robin Lopez gets a deal for $20 million a year, $18 million a year, and he averages 8 points a game.
You need somebody at the rim. You need a rebounder out there. You know, maybe not an intimidating factor because you had that in Roy Hibbert, but it's something in that regards. It can't be a role player because Ian Mahimi is a role player. You need a guy who's a true five, starting five type in this league.
Or an undersized guy like Allen, who's 6'9", it plays like a five. There's ways around that. I don't think you're going to find anybody that's going to help you out immediately that's over 6'10", because those guys go for about $20 million a season.
333-2665 is our phone number. Let's bring in Matt. How you doing, Matt?
Good. How you doing, guys?
Doing
What's
well.
Happening, buddy?
Hey, I've heard a couple different places that the Pacers might be, or he might be interested in coming to the Pacers, would be Amari Stoudemire. What do you guys feel about?
Well, number one, what does Stoudemire make a year? I think that's the first question you got to ask. It's a lot. Unless he's a true free agent, which I don't have that in front of me. Dave's looking that up right now. Stoudemire would be a great chance player to take on because you know any minute his knees can fall apart. He's made out of paper mache. If he wanted to come here for $1 million or $2 million, just like when – who was a big guy they brought in for 15 minutes for a big cup of coffee? The guy with the two bad knees, the seven-foot guy from the Sixers. Remember that guy?
Yeah, I can't get it.
You know who I'm talking about, though, right? You took a chance on him in the playoffs 2 years ago with Evan Turner. He came over with Evan Turner. He couldn't play. That's kind of what Stoudemire is. He couldn't play for a bad Knicks team last year because he's always hurt. But
Amari Stoudemire is a nice name from 8 years ago. That was a hell of a scorer back then. But I don't think this team needs an Amari Stoudemire. It could use a veteran, but I'm not sure Amari Stoudemire is that.
Stoudemire would sign for $2 million a season.
That'd be nice.
If you wanted to try to pull a Rodney Stuckey, where he said, "Hey, look, I'll go out and help these guys and see what happens." You know, I don't think that's the worst idea ever. But I'd love to see his medical records before. Before I sign
full
that
physical.
What else you got, Matt?
That makes sense. No, that's it.
That's it. So Stoudemire, all right, well, that's not bad. I don't think that's ridiculous because I think he's not going to be able to play 28 minutes a night just because of his physics. Bring up his numbers from last year.
Yeah, I'll find him here in a second.
But the issue is that's the kind of guy the Pacers need, and I'd have to look up how he is in the locker room and everything else.
Well, he's a little bit of a me first type of guy, wants to get his shots.
But some of those guys
maybe not
change.
Carmelo Anthony needing to get his shots. But I think at this point in time, look, he would be the David West for the Spurs for somebody, in my opinion. That's
he's
what he strikes me
so
as.
So he's not.
He's had knee injuries for a long time.
Yes, I don't doubt that for one second. I'd love to see the X-rays on the guy.
Exactly.
Last year, he finished the year in Dallas, didn't he? Yes, he did. And he played 59 games last year. All right. So he's not completely incapacitated. That's the good news. But if that was a guy who'd signed for less, he's already made $1 trillion in his life. I mean, the money this guy makes is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
So if he wanted to take a shot for the Pacers, he
this
made
– 13 years.
Okay. So last year he made – with the Knicks and Mavericks last year, he made $23.8 million. So I'm guessing his contract is expired.
Yeah. Averaged 11 points.
He's made $166 million in his career, so money might not be his issue. But you have to worry. It's those guys who haven't won a lot lately. I mean, he was stuck on the Knicks for how many years in a row here? Not a lot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, that's
65, 29, 47 games the 3 years prior to that played. Last year it was 59, as you mentioned. So it's not awful, but it's not great.
He was waived by the Knicks last year, signed with the rest of the season for the Mavericks. So, again, if he wanted to take a payday chop to get that one more contract, hey, maybe. But do the Pacers present that opportunity as, well, or I could hold out and play for nothing with Cleveland, or I could play for nothing with Golden State?
Right.
That's going to be the other interesting issue because we can bring names up all day, but you got to remember, it takes two to tango, and somebody's going to have to want to be here. And again, Knicks waving them in the middle of the season. That was, I don't know if that's a salary cap dump or one of those what do they call that when they waive the rest of the salary and they get the amnesty. Thank you. I said arbitration. That's not the right word. But again, two to tango. The Pacers do need a veteran type player, but they don't need a veteran guy sitting on their injured reserve list either. You can save that for the young kids.
No, and again, Amari Stoudemire. That's
bit of a story with the two bad knees. Didn't he? He was
Rick Smith.
No, he's from Jersey. Remember, African American guy. Him and he was like a top 10 draft pick. Knee problem after knee problem after knee problem. We're going to look that up.
We're going to look that up right after the break, or right during the break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glassy in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. And your mystery man was?
Andrew Bynum. Good job, John. John's always listening.
Number one pick, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think he was. I didn't even know where to start looking for him because the Pacers didn't. I don't even think they traded.
I could have sworn he played like 10 minutes.
He
in
did.
One
he had a
game.
Great game. He had like 13 points and 9 rebounds in 12 minutes.
And it was like,
then his knees hurt again.
Yeah.
Bynum was with the Lakers. He was. He was all upside, and again, didn't happen. So,
quick programming note for you before we get anywhere, though. We got Reds baseball all over the place coming up the rest of this week. They are right after the program here, 7 o'clock in Washington. Then they are in Miami Thursday and Friday, 7 o'clock also. And again, Saturday here on WGCL, 4 o'clock on Saturday, Reds in Miami. And then they get the All-Star break, which is Monday, Tuesday for the main days there. We'll talk more about that on Monday. But, Andrew Bynum. Not much invested there of anything. It was $1 million they paid him, I think, just to be around, give it a try, and didn't result in anything. Neither did Evan Turner, but they gave it a try anyway. So now, what does this team try? Is the real question? Because again, Hibbert, West gone, so you're left with Ian Mahimi, and again, we like Mahimi. I mean, he's a nice player. He's kind of a journeyman guy.
He's active defensively.
Yeah, that's good. Does what you want, and especially what you want with a team that's already got scoring more or less figured out.
Yeah, and if you want 15 points from him, he'd make $15 million a year like Hibbert did.
Sure.
So you can't have both ways in this league, and that's what you have to figure out. You have to find stuff in the bargain bin like Rodney Stuckey last year and hope that it turns out for a decent price. C.J. Miles is a great example of that. You saw what he could do with George out of the lineup. Got you almost 14 a night. That's what you want for a guy. He's only making $4.5 million a year. That's a great contract.
Absolutely.
So that doesn't happen all the time. And, again, where do you go for these guys? You have to put trust in your scouting network. You have to put trust in the guys that evaluate talent because you're not giving a ton of money away. But you can't screw up the locker room and have nothing in return on the court. That's the double-edged sword you can't get into.
Right.
You can't bring in a guy and say, oh, okay, cool, Stoudemire, he only wants $2.5 million. And then you figure out when he's here, he's made of papier-mâché, and he's terrible in the clubhouse. That's the double whammy you can't have, even though it's a one-year deal. The Pacers, the one thing you always talk about, they seem to be fragile. And I don't mean by injuries. I don't mean by mentally. I mean a little bit of everything. It just seems like you got Lance Stephenson blowing in LeBron James' ear. You get the most freak injury you can get on your best player, one of the best 10 guys in the league.
Not even playing for your team.
And then Hibbert checks out. West is hurt all the time. George Hill's got problems. Stuckey's hurt. And you just keep fighting this fight of uphill.
Well,
uphill,
think about it again.
All the time.
All worked 2 years ago into a team that went 7 games with the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. So this was a team that everything Larry had done to that point in time had put them in a position to be one of the best in the East, and arguably the best if the Heat blow up the next year and the Pacers are healthy. And that was the discussion we were having at the time. Hey, great, yeah, let's add Luis Scola to the list. Now we've got a second team guy that can kind of hold that group
which
together.
Which they didn't have the year before that.
Exactly, and so they had more options because that's what killed them against the Heat. But you had a productive Hibbert, you had a healthy West, you had clearly a healthy Paul George. So, I mean, all of those things.
It's too bad that the Pacers' best teams in the last 20 years have ran into the Jordan Bulls, the Ewing Knicks, and the LeBron whoever LeBron's playing for. And that's what the rest of the league faces as well. So you have to hit it just right because, as we've seen, there aren't a lot of places or a lot of guys that want to come to places like Milwaukee or Atlanta or the Pacers. Atlanta's probably a little bit better. That's a hipper city. But Greg Monroe spurns the Knicks to go to the Bucks. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah,
the Bucks got some young stuff going on there. They've got some young, throwing a little O.J. Mayo, and you got some action going on there. Is Brandon Jennings still there? I mean, you're just trying to rattle off who are the guys the Bucks have that Monroe wants to go play for. But the point was he did.
Yeah,
and so that's,
and he didn't want to stick around in New York, apparently.
Well, he didn't. He was gone from the Pistons, and then he looked at New York, and he said, hey, look, I don't want to play center. You guys want to play? I'm not going there. So the Pacers have to have these pieces. You don't move Hibbert in principle in West. You don't come out and say in that press conference, hey, we're going to play around these guys if they can't keep up with this. You have to have something planned up, ready to go. And I understand that Larry Bird's not going to come out and unroll his scroll and say,
sure,
here are the 10 guys we're looking at in order, and this is what we're going to pay him. You got to play a little bit of poker, and you've got to fill in some gaps. The gap that the Pacers, I don't think, have to fill in this year, Dave, is that get-it-over-the-hump gap. They're going to get in the playoffs. Why? Because there's a lot of bad in the East. I think you can find a way into the playoffs. But remember, there's only 15 – there's what? 30 teams in the league, right? 15 in each league. You got to be in the top half. If you can't do that, you don't deserve anything. But how good is Paul George going to be next year? I bet Paul George is going to be better than he is in March than he is in December.
Sure.
And everyone will go, yeah. Absolutely. So the Pacers close well? Did they move at the deadline deal for that when they see, hey, this is turning in the right direction? Or do they wait like everybody else next year and get the $22 million, $23 million, $24 million add-on, whatever that is, and then it's nuts
the board? Let's ask this question.
Do you have to move this year because of that expansion next year?
Let's ask this question real quick. 333-2665 is a phone number. What's more important right now today, knowing what we know, getting somebody who's a better contributor than Ian Mahimi up front, or the chemistry of this team on the floor next year? That sounds, a little bit silly, because your chemistry always has to be good, but you're looking at a team right now that's got options to score. What it needs to find is it needs to find guys that can do the other little things. Paul George may not be ready to take 20 to 22 shots a night walking in the door. And does he know and realize that and want to let the rest of the guys who can make up the difference help out? Because, again, you're talking Miles, Stuckey, and Ellis. These are guys that can all put the ball in the basket.
And George Hill can put the ball
George
in the
Hill will gladly sit out there and hit some spot-up threes or hit a back door or something like that and fill in where he needs to. You'd like to find a five that can help you with that exact same thing. Is Paul George, as the star of this team potentially, coming back from injury, is he ready to at least ease in as opposed to having to dominate right away? Because he's talking already. He's put this Instagram thing out there about wanting to be the leader of this team, I hope he does. But the leader of this team does not necessarily mean he's got to take all the shots away from the guys they've signed who were signed to put up shots.
And by the way, you won't take any away from Monte Ellis. He grabs the ball and crosses half court. It's probably
going that going to be a chemistry issue with Paul George?
It shouldn't be, because that will allow George, I think, to slide into the role and not have to carry it right off the bat. That's the helper. Miles proved himself last year. George Hill, obviously, when he was the lone option there for a couple weeks, was getting 28 a night because he can. Most of these guys in the NBA can do that. They prefer not to. If you're the Pacers, you're looking to find what your best strengths are. And the best strengths for the Pacers is Ellis not shooting 26 times to get 26 points. That's not going to be the best thing for the Pacers.
Right.
That's going to take some time to figure out. The chemistry always takes time to figure out. And when it goes south, when you run into a 3 or 4 game losing streak, who's going to pull them out? Who's going to snap them out of that? Or is it going to be, hey, I'm going to try this? I don't know. David West took care of that issue the last couple of years, so you didn't have to worry about that. So those chemistry issues, they do play an important part, and so does the rest of the salary that Roy Hibbert, that they spent on Rodney Stuckey. You got the other part of that. There is some hope left where you can get right up next to that line, and that's what the Pacers would do. They probably won't go over it, but there is some option left there, plus all the other, once the cap spits out, how many, the mid-range option, the veterans option, the this option, there's a million of them to see. So the Pacers aren't done yet. It's the final pieces to this puzzle, which get them where? The 20th pick next year? The 14th pick next year?
I mean, if you're in the playoffs, that's what it's going to be.
If you're in the playoffs, you're out of the lottery. That's how it works. 14th pick is the final pick in the, and that's the worst place to be. Pacers were 11th this year. That was pretty close. So you don't want to have the, you don't want to have that 15 to 20 pick and because you haven't done enough, and the Pacers aren't bad enough where they're going to worry about getting a top five pick in any of this. So it's going to be an interesting day and night once the week-long moratorium passes. I believe it's tonight. I think at 12:01 tonight you can start signing. So we'll see what Larry Bird has up his sleeve. And again, if you're going to get rid of West and Hibbert to put together a new-look Pacers, you better have a shopping list and you better have guys you had an idea of looking at. And that's what we're going to find out here in the next few weeks.
Indeed, Pacers still a work in progress, but closer to what they'll be in the fall than what we knew last week. Got to take another quick break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note, we got Reds baseball coming up right after the show as they are in Washington. 7 o'clock for the first pitch or just after, so don't go anywhere.
The Reds are hot, 2 in a row, and Washington beating up the best team in the East after getting swept at home by the worst team in the Central. Go figure that out.
That's how it works sometimes.
5-0 against the Nationals on the season and look to complete the sweep tonight. Michael Lorenzen gets the ball. He already beat him once back in June, so hopefully good things for the Reds.
333-2665 is our phone number. Let's bring in John.
John, can't stay away. Hey,
listen, I did think of something I wanted to ask you guys because we may never get to revisit this again.
Probably.
Because Roy Hibbert's going to be gone. But, I mean, Roy Hibbert was a dominant player for a while. He wasn't great, but he was dominant defensively. And remember the series when he blocked Carmelo's shot at the rim and then against the Heat when the Heat had all kinds of problems dealing with him. And then he just went downhill from then, and it wasn't an injury-related situation. I've never seen anything like it before, and I don't understand. Nobody seems to be able to understand it.
We said at the time he needs an angry pill on a nightly basis. I don't know what it is. I don't know what that thing, you know, how you do it, but that's what he seemed to need. He's got all the physical ability.
I thought there were rumors of infidelity in the Pacers' locker room, and that's why everybody went fishing and things got a little hectic at times like that. I think that was part of it as well, but from a physical standpoint, yeah, it goes from making the All-Star team and being talked about as defensive MVP, this, that, and the other thing. Then he checks out for the rest of the season. I mean, how does that happen? I don't know. I think Roy's too smart for his own good. I think that's part of it. I think he's emotionally fragile. I think he's physically strong. But when the going got tough, Roy didn't want to go. And when you look back at the contract he signed him to, what's the motivation there? Your teammates, and if your teammates are not being very nice to you in other parts of your life, what do you want to go out there for? Remember, he was the guy that came out and said, we're too selfish in this locker room. We got guys stealing rebounds. Mm-hmm. He accused Stevenson of padding his stats late in games when they were getting beat, getting mad at other players because he was taking rebounds. I mean, that stuff obviously affected him, and it affected him to the point where Larry Bird said, you know what, we'll trade you, just get rid of your salary. I mean, that's what this came down to, because they're not getting anything in return for him besides cash they have to go out and spend and pound a square hole into a round peg.
Well, if you think he's emotionally fragile now, what's going to happen the first time he deals with Kobe and Kobe's
no kidding
gets unhappy with him
and anything else in
the
life?
He'll be 7'2", he'll be 5'2",
and that's fine. He doesn't care because he's making 15 point whatever million bucks this year, and he has two ways to go. He can play really well for the Lakers and find himself a nice 4-year $20 million contract next season, or he can play 12 minutes a game and latch on somewhere for $1.5 million like Rodney Stuckey did.
I mean, it's a huge question. I mean, what's his motivation? What's his issue? Why did he turn? Because, again, he was dominant. Let's remember, when he was on the floor against the Heat, they didn't know how to handle him. They could not get inside. They could not get to the rim. And this is, you know, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, two guys that love to get to the rim, and they couldn't do it. And they effectively took Chris Bosh out of the series
when
he was out of foul trouble, not in foul trouble, and was able to play.
Hibbert couldn't make layups. He couldn't hit a hook shot from 2 feet away, and he'd grab one rebound in 20 minutes. That's effort. You know rebounding's effort. Get after it. Play a little bit harder. So it didn't work out for Roy. Did it end the best way it could have? Probably not. But to sign a guy to that kind of money, and it happens all the time. David Lee didn't do anything for Golden State this year. We can point that out. We can point out some other of these guys making $15 million a year that don't fire. And some guys get it and some guys don't. What was frustrating about Hibbert, as you just mentioned, Dave, when he was good enough to bother the best. And that's what gets frustrating, when all of a sudden that just came to a grinding halt one day, and it never came back. He never had a good week.
It was only 2 years ago that they were talking about Roy Hibbert's defensive strategy as being the new thing that was going to go on in the NBA. I mean, again, this is not stuff we're making up here, but
well,
you're right, he fell off a cliff.
When he got re-signed, I didn't hear anybody saying, oh, that's way too much money. And they said, good,
we
got a big guy that's going to make a difference against teams who don't have a big guy.
John, not to send you back through the annals of the internet, but we did. Only because we questioned that kind of money for a guy that had yet to prove it consistently. We knew he was a softer guy, and the question was, is he going to become more professional and do it every night, you know, night in and night out? And there was always the possibility he could become dominant. But there was always, I wouldn't say the possibility. I didn't envision he'd fall off the cliff.
Remember, Hibbert,
I just envisioned he'd be kind of average.
They got him big, they got him small, they got him big again. Hey, gain 30 pounds, lose 30 pounds, gain 30 pounds, work out with Kareem. Keep going. What didn't they try with the guy?
They did everything they could.
They tried everything.
I don't fault him for signing him. I think it was a smart move at the time.
I think you had to.
You had to because you had the hope that the light would come on for him and stay on, and it just did not stay on.
Nope, and that's the gamble that is free agency. You can ask all the teams that signed Eddie Curry, hoping for that same light to come on. It never
or
did.
Andrew Bynum
never fired. And Bynum was a really good player before he got hurt. That's the difference.
Yeah, he contributed a lot.
If Hibbert had an injury, you could point to it and say, well, that makes sense. He
doesn't have the injury.
No, he does not.
No,
it was mental.
It was.
Well, there's your injury. I mean, let's be fair about it. And something's not firing for an NBA center.
And the other news is, why have him drag and mope around for one more year? You just went through that for a year and almost a year and a half. So turn the page. Get him.
I'd
out
rather
of there
have Rodney Stuckey and one or two other guys.
Sure.
I mean, let's be.
Right. And if that's the style you want to play, Roy Hibbert does not fit that style. And he can chug up and down for the Lakers. Which then, what are they going to do? They've got nothing going on. They got one more shot at it, and he's not going to be the missing piece.
It's just curious to me because I haven't seen anything like this. And you know, the guy that doesn't have an injury is an excuse for falling off the end of the earth.
Yeah, usually it's an injury problem, and that's
usually injury or age.
Yep.
I mean, that's
it's neither with him,
but it's neither.
Yeah, a guy in his prime getting paid that kind of money just kind of falls away. That's a good point. And the other good point you made is we're not going to talk about it anymore. It's now the Lakers. It's going to be the Lakers' problem after midnight. Hey, great job as always.
Thanks.
Good talking to you, John. We appreciate it. He'll probably have a great year next year because he's looking for a contract.
Well,
or maybe he's not.
But that's
maybe he's looking to fill that one and end it.
Even if that was the case, he still wouldn't fit what Bird wants to do. Bird can't wait for Hibbert to find it again. He has to surround Paul George with hyper-talented guys.
He couldn't handle what we wanted to do around him. Why would he be able to handle when we want to get smaller and run more? It's not going to happen.
And it didn't work in the locker room, obviously, and it didn't work on the court. And it's a bad combination, and that's what you do. In the NBA, you got to fish or cut bait. You can't keep a guy around hoping.
It's unfortunate because he was a nice personality here in Indiana.
Great guy.
For the folks around here.
But he knew he was gone. He dismantled Area 55, didn't show up at his charity softball game. It's not like this is any kind of secret. He didn't want to be here. That's fine. Everybody needs a new beginning. And again, there's no hatred to the guy. You hope he finds happy. And you hope he finds his game in Los Angeles, and you hope he doesn't take it on the Pacers someday in the NBA Finals.
Same with David West, who turned down a lot of money.
Didn't want it.
Not that we were dying to give it to him. I mean, we're all right with him opting out because we get that money from Monte Ellis. But, salute David West for taking a hell of a lot less money and trying to win a championship. And to be fair, with one of the better organizations around, too.
Yeah.
This is not running like Gary Payton
and
Karl Malone to the Lakers.
Doesn't even matter. Everybody's rich in that league. Everybody.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Monday. We'll talk All-Star Baseball on Monday night and maybe find out more what the Pacers' plan is for the offseason then. And we will talk to you Monday. You've been in the zone.